Welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. Welcome. This is one of my favorite sessions that we do each and every month. Just a reminder what this program's all about. If you're a member of the Advisor Pact monthly program, our focus together is to move you towards your ability to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to a community of ideal clients and delivered through a team of subject matter experts. We'll help you build and lead your team, but the whole focus is your ability to make this pledge to your ideal clients. It's to make an advisor pact with each and every client. And PACT is an acronym, and it stands for Protection, Attention, Coordination, Transparency. So your promise to each ideal client is that you're going to protect them. You've got their back. They don't have to worry about conflicts of interest. You're on the watch. You're going to pay attention so that whenever course corrections are required, that you can be counted upon to know enough about their situation and be proactive enough to make the required course corrections in order to remain on track. Coordination. Your pledge to each client is to coordinate all their personal financial affairs. You'll provide oversight and you'll establish a strategic plan, and you'll make sure that all of the client's financial relationships are well coordinated and every recommendation received by the client has been approved by your team and is well aligned with the overarching strategy. And then finally, transparency. You know, it's a funny thing in our industry worldwide. When you sit down with clients, they frequently do not understand how they're paying for the financial people and the financial services in their lives. Your pledge is full transparency. You're going to make sure that every one of your ideal clients is fully aware of exactly how each individual on their team is being paid and how much exactly. And what they're paying for each and every financial product that they own. So that's our goal together in the Advisor Pact program, is to move you towards being able to deliver truly comprehensive financial services and making this Advisor Pact to each and every one of your clients. We get this question all the time, either this question or questions similar to this. I'm in need of an administrative assistant. What do you recommend? Now, it sounds like a very simple, very straightforward, very common question in our industry. A trusted advisor, a financial advisor, is in need of administrative support. My good friend Bill Bachrach is fond of saying, if you don't have an assistant, you are one. So that is true. But I think this is, if not the most important question to the leading indicator question that leads to the success of your business and to your vision and your goals. Matter of fact, other than vision and goals, this question could be the most important question to your business. So we're going to spend a few minutes and unpack this because in our model, it's not just an administrative assistant that you're seeking. What we call this position in our model is administrative manager. This is an upgraded position. This is an individual that is just not just someone who can file paper and fill out forms and answer the phone and manage your calendar. We assume the administrative part. We assume that every candidate that you'll interview for this position is extraordinarily good at administrative tasks. What we're really seeking here is a manager. We're seeking a manager, not just an administrative assistant. So this administrative manager, as we call the position, is going to serve in the role of what we call project leader. So if you print business cards for this individual, on the business card, it'll certainly say administrative manager. That title is very friendly to clients. Others that interact with your firm, if they saw the individual's name with the title administrative manager, it's a really good title for external people, because it means that they can contact this individual for literally anything, administrative or any basic question. It's a very friendly title to outsiders. Internally, we call this individual the project leader because this individual is the key to your team. This is the individual that's going to not only assist you, but actually help you build your team of subject matter experts to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. An individual who's going to actually orchestrate all the assignments to the subject matter experts and frankly is responsible for every element of every client progress meeting. So all the work that's completed in preparation for a client progress meeting, it's this administrative manager who will be responsible for making sure that everything that should get done prior to a client meeting actually gets done and gets done before the deadline. So this administrative manager is going to actually coordinate your subject matter experts. This means you'll have to select an individual that you have a high level of trust, because if these subject matter experts, I'm talking about your tax subject matter expert and your legal subject matter expert and your financial planner and your money manager, if all of those people are going to, in essence, report to and be coordinated by your administrative manager, this has got to be someone that has a high level of leadership skills and that you've fully empowered to be able to coordinate these high-level people, the accountant, the lawyers, the others on your team. And their responsibility is to hold your team fully accountable to delivering all the mechanics of truly comprehensive financial services. We are hiring for a position, someone who will literally help your subject matter experts manage the delivery of all the services to your clients, making it your responsibility as trusted advisor, literally, to come in a week to 10 days before each meeting, receive the work that's prepared by your team, and that work is so comprehensive and so thorough that you are able to absorb all that work and then a week later deliver an extraordinary client meeting experience. So it's a really important position in that this administrative manager is responsible for making sure everything gets done prior to every client progress meeting so that you don't have to. So the question comes up, and this is often a question by new administrative managers. So when we're supporting a new administrative manager and we explain to them that, you know, they're not just an administrative person, this role of administrative manager is actually the project leader, then their question oftentimes to us is, well, if I'm the project leader, then what's the project? Well, what your administrative manager is the project leader for is creating an extraordinary client experience while delivering truly comprehensive financial services. So it's not enough just to have your administrative manager hold your team accountable for delivering the mechanics of truly comprehensive financial services. It's really your administrative manager that helps you create an extraordinary client experience to take all that great work that's being done by your team for your clients and transform that into what is going to be an extraordinary experience for the client. So how do you find an administrative manager that's that extraordinary? Well, there are 10 steps to hiring an effective administrative manager, and I'm going to fly through them right now. So we'll take these in kind of chunks. So the first three steps in hiring an extraordinary administrative manager are to create and then finalize what I'm going to call a position agreement. Some people call them job descriptions, but it's a written description of what you're expecting. In other words, a description of the job you're trying to fill. And secondly, then to establish key performance measures. And then third, once you've got all that done, then you can go out and start finding candidates. Well, let's take them one at a time and just summarize what's involved with each step. Okay, so the first step is to establish and finalize this job description or position agreement. We recommend that you have two versions, a short version that you give to candidates who initially inquire about the job. This may be what they actually saw, which led them to want to reach out to you and apply for this position. But we recommend a short version, a one-pager, and then a longer version. Now, on the page where this video is, you'll notice that there is a sample. So we've got a sample. I've got a one-page version and a longer, I believe it's about seven-page longer version of what it is you're looking for in an administrative manager. The longer version is a editable Microsoft Word document, so I encourage you to go in there and add requirements that you have for the position. So you've may have been in the business for a while, and so you have some opinions about what you need in terms of an administrative manager. I tend to focus on delivering truly comprehensive financial services and what it takes in terms of skills and attributes for an individual to be a good fit for coordinating a team, a high-level team of subject matter experts in order to get everything done prior to client progress meetings. So I tend to focus on the leadership skills. You may have other specific needs. Just look at the longer version and feel free to edit it to suit you. Second thing that we talked about was establishing key performance measures. Now, key performance measures are after the individual has been hired, but you need to establish these up front. And as a matter of fact, in the interviewing process, in one of the interviews, it's always good to go through these key performance measures and make sure that before you make an offer to anyone, that they understand exactly what is expected, what you expect from them once they're in the job. So key performance measures also not only just sets expectations, but it also creates a method of measuring progress towards mastery. So very few people, you know, that you hire for this position would be a master on day one. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. And as a matter of fact, I have hired individuals that right out of the chute, the very first week they're on the job, it appears to me that they are so skilled and they're so experienced at this administrative management type position that I have to do very little in the way of training. They already know what to do, and they're asking me all the right questions in order for them to jump right in and do the job at an expert level. But let's say you hire someone that's very good, but not quite mastering the job. It's human nature. It takes a while. It's a process that we call mastery, where you start off at a certain level. So they come to work and they're performing at the level of skill that they're capable. But then what the key performance measures help do in part is measure progress towards mastery so that you can measure improvement over time. Let me just show you an example. Now on the page with this video is a sample key performance measures sheet. It's multiple pages, and it measures things like proactiveness and leadership and team skills and how skilled they are as an administrator. But it measures each of these attributes on a scale from minus 10 to plus 10, with zero being neutral. And if you'll notice, you don't have to read, you probably can't read it on the screen, but you'll notice that below each, all these numbers are words. So it allows you with the administrative manager after they've been hired to kind of decide where, at what point the individual in this particular area is currently. So if zero is neutral, and you may decide that this individual is a plus 3 currently on a scale of minus 10 to plus 10. Well, we always recommend, and this is getting a little ahead of ourselves, but just to give you an example of how this is used to measure success, is prior to a performance review, we call it the administrative manager expectations conversation that you need to have with this individual after they're hired at least once every 4 months. Well, you pull this out and you look at it. Prior to those AM expectations meetings, we ask you to have your administrative manager complete this independently, and then you complete this independently. And then in part, the conversation every 4 months is reconciling why their scores are different than yours. Now, they may be exactly the same. Usually they're not. And so if, let's say, you're ranking the individual a plus three in terms of preparedness, just in this hypothetical, and they rank themselves a plus six, then it's important in the conversation to reconcile that. What makes them think they're a six, and what makes you think they're a plus three? So this is just to give you an example as to how you use the key performance measures to measure progress over time, but doing this as kind of the first thing you do before you even look to interview candidates is it helps it get it clear in your mind what exactly that you're looking for, what kind of person. And so it's setting expectations, and the key performance measures gives an opportunity to measure progress over time. By the way, the one we have up on the screen is subject matter expert performance measures. We have key performance measures for every individual on your team. But on this page, you'll be able to download the sample for the administrative manager key performance measures. So the third step is to then go out and find candidates. Okay, so now you've got your position clearly identified. You've got the job description, what we call position agreement. You've got key performance measures clear in your mind. Now you're ready to go out and look for some candidates. So we recommend, and this is, I've had many offices over the years, and we've hired administrative managers using this method every single time. So I want you to pay close attention to this and follow this very closely, this instruction, because it has worked for us every single time in every single office to fill this position we call administrative manager. So each member of your team needs to send out an email basically saying, we're hiring. And on this page, you'll find a sample email with the subject line and the email that you can just copy. And we recommend that everybody on your team send out these emails to people, to everybody that they know. This is really the classic form of networking, where you just blast out this notice that you're hiring to literally everybody that you know, every email address that you've got in your inbox. And when I say each member of your team does this, I mean you send out the emails. If you have anybody currently working for you in the office, like a receptionist or a clerk or a clerical person, filing person, I'm saying your spouse, if you have an accountant in town that you tend to work with or send clients to, any associate of your firm, what we're telling you to do, and this is really important that you make the effort to do this, is everybody on your team, we're asking to send out 500 of these emails and send it to everyone. Don't discriminate. Family, friends, colleagues, past associates, vendors. I was helping an advisor with this recently, and we had to go back through his inbox more than a year in order to capture 500 unique email addresses. And he included people. He included the guy that sold him some jewelry for his spouse at their anniversary a year ago. He included the lawn care guy, the company that mows their lawn. Literally everybody in his inbox, because it really doesn't matter. If you think about it, if you send out an email and it says we're hiring, then it doesn't matter. You never know who knows an individual who's a strong administrative manager. So we recommend that you send out this email with an attachment. Now, a moment ago, I said the very first step was you have a position agreement already worked out, and one of those is a short version, a one-pager. It's very important that you send out this email to everyone you know, you and your spouse and everybody that you know that's willing to send out these emails. Send out the email with the one-page attachment so that there's an attachment basically describing the position, and it's a PDF so that the individual could either forward it on to somebody they know that might be interested in this position, or they could print it out and hand it to someone, or put it up on the bulletin board, over the water cooler, wherever they work. You've got that PDF that's very useful as a one pager describing what you're looking for, and make sure on that one pager it describes how to get a hold of you, usually an email address. So make sure that it's got a basic contact information, and just look at the sample that we've included of the one pager. So sending out 500 of these emails, you sending out 500, your spouse sending out 500, and everybody that you know that's close to you sending out as close to 500 as possible, this will generate a lot of candidates. Don't forget your social media. So recently I was talking to an advisor in Canada who made sure to send out this notification to their LinkedIn contacts as well. So you have LinkedIn contacts, your spouse has LinkedIn contacts. If you've got anybody working for you currently, they've got LinkedIn contacts. So just make sure to send out, you either create a post or send out what's called an in-mail. Sending an email through LinkedIn is called an in-mail. So making a post and sending out in-mails to everybody on your contact list is the way to do it. And then if that doesn't work, then I recommend it's okay to go look at job boards. So there are a ton of job boards where administrative people are looking for work. This is what we call advertising for the position. The reason I put it in this way is because you do this if all else fails, and only if all else fails. It is so likely that you will identify enough candidates through the sending out of the emails that you won't need to go through the job boards. I mention it because with many advisors, they kind of take this approach first. Look on, the first step is to post the position on job boards and advertise for the position, or hire an agency to help you hire. You know, the problem with job boards, in my opinion, is that it's generally, well, I say generally, but the majority of candidates that we get from job boards are people who are currently out of work. They are not currently employed. What you tend to get from the candidates when you send out emails, when you send out emails to your family, friends, colleagues, past associates, vendors, you and your spouse send all these emails out, what you're likely to get is candidates who already have a position. I will tell you that the best administrative manager that we've ever hired was the receptionist in a beauty salon. And one of our clients, so we sent the email out to clients as well. So one of our clients printed out that PDF, the one pager, and just handed it to her because our client felt that this woman was just extraordinary and over-skilled for the position that she was in, and just incredible in terms of skill and experience, and being underutilized in her current position. So our client handed that one pager to this beauty salon receptionist, who then came on, to our firm. She didn't have a college degree. She was high school educated. But I'm telling you, that is the best administrative manager we have ever hired. And so I think the reason I say that is you generally going the email approach, you're going to be more likely to find people that are already employed. And this is just a great opportunity for them. So you're finding people already who are doing extremely well in whatever they're doing, and they're looking for an upgrade, which represents you in this position, as opposed to job boards, which are kind of a magnet for people that are currently unemployed. So those are the first three steps. Let's take on the next chunk. The next three steps are, after you've got candidates, the next step is kind of an intermediary step that a lot of advisors skip this step, and I'm recommending you don't skip this step: screening candidates. So you'll start having a lot of candidates indicate interest, reach out to you and say, hey, I'm interested in the position. And then the next step is to screen those candidates before you interview them. After you've screened them, then step five is to have the first interview. And then step six is something called we call the rule of threes. So let me walk through this with you. Just focus on screening candidates. When I say screening candidates, I mean that you give the candidates something to do, an assignment, before you offer to interview them. So in other words, you send them something and say, here, do this, and then you can look at the quality of what they've responded to the assignment. And if the results of the assignment are up to your standards, you can schedule an interview. If the results of the assignment are not up to your standards, then you just politely disengage and quickly move on to the next candidate. Now, on this page, I've included an example assignment. Feel free to use this. It says, thank you for your interest in the administrative manager position we're currently seeking to fill. Please invest a few minutes with the following exercise, and once completed, email it to us along with your resume to, and then it gives your email address. If you meet the profile we're seeking, we will contact you to schedule an interview. And then it's got three real simple basic sections. There's a basic grammar section. There's a simple math section, but if you look at it carefully, look at it, print it out after this session, and you can kind of see what this is. But it's a simple math, but it's more attention to detail. It is so critical with an administrative manager that you have someone that's not careless, someone who does have good attention to detail, and that's what this section's really designed to find out. And then you request a writing sample from the candidate where they just do free form writing. We tell them that they can make it as short or long as they'd like. We outline the six skills that we're actually seeking in this administrative manager position. We're looking for leadership skills, attention to detail, ability to prioritize, proactiveness, self-disciplined person, and someone who's reliable. And so what this writing exercise asks them to do is give actual examples from their past of times when these skills showed up and it made a difference. So when you get this back, you'll of course be able to assess spelling and grammar and clarity of thought in what they've written. But one thing that I've learned over the years is I'm looking for how well they follow the instructions. So I'm asking for specific examples of stories and instances in where these skills have shown up in their past. And so I'm looking, can they answer the question properly? With some candidates, I'll get this long on and on and on narrative kind of talking about what they can do for our company. And it says right here in the instructions, I'm less interested in what you think you can do for our organization, and I'm more interested in hearing you describe the many instances of how these skills have shown up in your past. So I'm looking for their ability to follow the instruction, and as well as clarity of thought and an example of their writing for grammar and so forth. So feel free to use this example. Then, if they pass that assignment, if you get the results are acceptable to you, then you schedule an initial interview. So there are a few goals of this first interview. You need to confirm the skills that they've just written what their skills are, examples of how these skills have shown up in their background. And so you confirm those skills. You have a conversation with them where they're talking. You should be talking 20% of the time. They should be talking 80% of the time. You should always record all of these interviews and let them know that you're recording the interview, and to basically on the first few measure the amount of time you're talking versus the amount of time they're talking. You're not learning anything about them when you're talking. So you get them talking, confirming their skills, and you just ask short, piercing questions and let them talk. I like to use the written exercise that they provided, giving backgrounds of their skills. And I try to get them to dig deeper and tell more, give some more detail and texture to the story. I want to hear more specifics typically. Even the really good written exercises, which describe their past skills, often lack specificity. So I use this interview to do that. So I'm confirming the skills. They're talking. I'm trying to talk very little. And I'm also trying to establish that this person is someone I can work with. I want to make sure that this is a good personality fit for me and for my team. It's got to be somebody that I would enjoy working with. And another goal of the interview is just to decide whether they have these leadership skills that are going to be required to get things done through the others on your team. So you have these subject matter experts, and it's going to be up to this, unless you want to have this responsibility back in your lap because the individual you hire is not effective at getting things done through the subject matter experts. No, you want to decide in the initial interview, is this someone who can take charge and get things done specifically through the subject matter experts, making sure that everything gets turned in on time by the deadlines? And it's really up to your administrative manager to make sure that there is forward progress in implementing this thing that we call truly comprehensive financial services. So in past videos, we've described the 11 steps to implementing truly comprehensive financial services, and it's up to your administrative manager to keep this project moving forward relentlessly, moving through the 11 steps. I mean, you need to tell them it takes 16 months or less to implement all 11 steps, and you're going to hold the administrative manager accountable to keeping the project moving forward through the 11 steps and implementing this thing that we call truly comprehensive financial services. Just to give you kind of a quick example of how I tend to have the conversation in the initial interview, and I mentioned that I kind of play off of the written exercise where they described how these leadership skills and other things showed up in their past. I tend to just have a verbal version of the written exercise where I'm able to ask more specifics, make them delve deeper, give me more texture as to how these skills showed up, and ask for more examples. I like to, the more the better. So you'll notice, first thing is, do you understand the job? So we've provided them the one pager. Now this is their opportunity. Opening question, I always ask, so you've had a chance to look over the position agreement that we gave you. So tell me in your own words what you think this job is. Now you'll learn right away whether they catch on quickly. They either grasped and absorbed that one page position agreement or they didn't. And many times you'll find that they did grasp it, but they've got relevant questions. They've got very, very good questions that a good candidate would have given just the kind of short one page description of the job. So you get them to describe the job, and then I get into, you know, what have you done in the past, which leads you to believe you're the right person for this job. I ask it as an open-ended question. Then I go through the skills. Third question, describe some of the things you've done where leadership skills were required, and I ask them to impress me with many stories from their past, and then I move on to describe things you've done where you had to be proactive and where your proactiveness made a difference in the outcome. And question six, describe some things that you've done where you had to be extremely resourceful. Impress me with stories from your past where you had to be extraordinarily resourceful and your resourcefulness made a difference in the outcome. So anyway, this is just an example of how I manage an initial interview. And I am looking for those outcomes that I told you. I'm looking to confirm the skills, but I'm also trying to see if I could work with this person. And mainly I'm trying to see, do they have the leadership skills? Do they have the chops to really hold my team accountable and you know, inspire my team to do their best work for my ideal clients? I'm expecting a lot from this administrative manager, and I want to get that sense in this first interview that they're up to the job. Now, the first interview, I tend to keep them between 20 and 30 minutes, but I will tell you that many advisors out there who send me recordings of these are closer to 45 minutes to an hour. I'll let you decide, but I just wanted to throw it out there that I tend to keep these to 20 to 30 minutes. So that's the first interview. Now, the rule of threes. What is the rule of threes? Well, there's actually three rules of threes and a fourth that I'll share in a minute, in a few minutes. But I think, you know, you should develop a three meeting process. The initial meeting can be with you or with whomever you designate, but there should be three interviews. It should be more than one interview so that you can test several things. Having a multi-interview process allows for a number of things. One of them is to test the seriousness of the candidate. So just like you're asking for a screening, that sheet that I showed you to screen candidates, what you'll be surprised about is, let's say you get a wave of initial candidates who are interested in the job. The minute you ask them to do that screening assignment, you'll be amazed. I predict you'll be amazed at how many fail to complete the exercise. So if it was just responding to an email, they're all up for it. But you'll be amazed, I predict, how many of these people, when you ask them even to do a simple assignment, how many people fall off the radar and they can't be bothered with that step. The same goes for a three meeting process. If you have a three interview process, in other words, you make sure you have three interviews before you make a final decision, you're testing their seriousness for the job, but you're also getting to know them better. And the other element of this is to make sure that there are three individuals conducting these three interviews. So you are definitely going to be one of the interviews. You could be in on more than one. You could actually sit in on all of them, but you could conduct one of them or more. And then I always suggest that you lean on either somebody else in your firm or one of your subject matter experts to interview them. And one of the best ideas that I ever implemented, and I did this just on a gut instinct, and there are some things you have to be alert to if you go this route, but I recommend that you consider having one of your top clients interview them as well. Now, keep in mind, it's not their job. They don't work for you, obviously, your ideal clients, but at the same time, they have a stake in this position. And in my case, I looked at my list of clients, and I had people that had been working in business for 30 years and more. They'd hired hundreds of people over the years, people at higher levels than I'm hiring. Anyway, I realized that in my community of clients, there were individuals that were so incredibly skilled at hiring. And so as long as you sit down and respectfully explain to your client what you're doing and tell them how important it is to get the right person in there and that how all your clients are so critically impacted in this hiring decision that you get the right person in place, my guess is you'll be able to find an individual who's a client of your firm who's got more experience than you do at hiring who'd be happy to do it, especially retired people. But three interview process, three individuals conducting the interview, and then the final of the rule of threes is keep interviewing candidates until you have three viable candidates. I think this is the most overlooked rule of the rule of threes that I want to make sure you don't pass over, and that is don't hire the first person that comes along that fits the profile. What you need to do is continue into interviewing candidates until you have three candidates that you think in your mind, I would hire any of these three. So you keep interviewing until you have three candidates of which you would hire any of the three, and then you've got enough compare and contrast that you can select among those three, select the best one to make them an offer. So three interviews, three individuals conducting the interviews, and then keep interviewing until you have three candidates that you'd be willing to hire. Okay, so the next four final steps in this 10-step process is after you've interviewed candidates and you have three candidates and you're making the offer, you're at the point now of making the offer to the finalist, and the step seven is to be sure to check their references before you make the offer. Check references. I recommend step eight, that you hire them with a trial period. Now, some people call this a probationary period. I tend to call it a trial period. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then there's the issue of compensation and something that I'm calling team award, which is in essence a bonus structure. So let's fly through these and then we'll be done. Checking references. This is the most often skipped step, and I'm saying don't skip it. Don't skip this step. You basically call up the references that have been provided by the candidate. So now you're down to the finalist and you're ready to make an offer, and you've asked for references and they've provided you two or three, and you call them up and they, you know, these are former employers typically, and they're typically cautious. As a matter of fact, in some cases, if it's a big corporation that they worked for, they'll give you practically no information other than to confirm the dates of employment. But I try to get them talking, and I realize this is a liability situation or perceived as such by the person that you're talking to, by the person you're asking the reference from. But I try to get them talking, and I explain that you're hiring for an administrative manager position, but what the real job is to serve as a project leader. And you know, what you're really looking for is examples of leadership skills. And just to ask the former employer, can you give me some examples of any time when this individual led a project or was kind of served in a leadership role, or something got done in their department or their job that their leadership skills really made a positive impact on the outcome, and see what they say. And then another thing is to ask these employers for names of peers and coworkers, maybe even other past employees that this individual worked with. You can even ask the candidate themselves for the names of peers, coworkers, like not the boss, not the person they reported to. Yes, you want to get those, but also ask for other people that they worked with, including if they volunteer for a charity or anything like, or they volunteer even at church. Ask for volunteer associates that have worked with this individual over many years, and then just call them up and ask them, you know, for examples of, I like to ask mainly about leadership skills. Tell me about situations when this individual really exhibited leadership skills, and many times they want to know, what does that mean? And you have to explain, you know, that the skill of this individual, their communication skills, their persuasiveness, maybe it was setting a great example for others, whatever the case. But it's where others followed them. It's where others on the team or in the company were persuaded by this individual, and the outcome was changed because this individual was a great leader. So make sure to check at least three references. I think once you actually get into this, I find that we tend to request and get more than three. But this is the fourth. What I promised is the fourth of the rule of threes. Make sure you at least check three references, former employers, as well as peers, coworkers, and so forth. The eighth step is what many people call a probationary period. I call it a trial period. Now, we in our model have we have our own ideal clients set up on something called the three-meeting process. That means that we, as financial advisors, are meeting with our ideal clients three times a year. That means once every 4 months. So the implication of that is that in any given four-month period, during any 4 months of the year, consecutive 4 months of the year, you're meeting with all your ideal clients in any four-month period. We call that a client meeting cycle. Any 4 months of the year is a client meeting cycle. So this is where, instead of 90 days, I recommend that you set 4 months as the trial period. This gives you one complete client meeting cycle where you can, I call it try before you buy. You just tell them, let's try this out for one client meeting cycle. Let's try for the next 4 months, and let's assess whether you can master this job. I mean, in essence, we're giving them 4 months to demonstrate that they can master this job. And you set as an expectation that in that 4 months, you've got to complete your training program for them. If you're in our system, we have the administrative manager online training program. And whatever your training program is, it may be ours, the one that we recommend. But regardless, they've got to complete this training program in 4 months. So you tell them that up front. And they have to be performing at your standards by the end of this four-month period. So they've got to be demonstrating mastery and performing at a very high level. You're giving them 4 months to see if it's a good fit. And then you can make the job permanent after 4 months. Now, I'm telling you this is what I recommend, and I recognize that wherever you are, whatever state or province or wherever you are, you know, there are many state laws and labor laws that you have to kind of work around when we talk about probation periods and things like that. So I will defer you, as always, to your lawyer. You should, before you hire anyone, you should run this by a lawyer and make sure that you're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and properly hiring the individual before you bring them on board. And just as a parenthetical note, I tell my administrative managers up front before they come on the job, one of the things that I'm expecting and I'm looking for in the trial period are things like scheduling onto my calendar this job performance review with them at least once every 4 months. Now, we call this review an administrative manager expectations conversation. But I want the AM to proactively be responsible for getting that on my calendar so that we have a one-on-one session at least three times a year, once every 4 months, to go through the key performance measures. So if I ever hire an administrative manager and in this initial 4 months they fail to schedule this AM expectations meeting at the end of the 4 months, at the end of the trial period, you know, that's not good. So, and if they're going through our AM expectations training program, that is part of our training program. We tell the administrative manager it's up to them to make sure that it's on your calendar three times a year to review them as well as all the subject matter experts. So this is an expectation that we place on them in the training program, but I would put this on them before you hire them, and then just make sure, see if it happens. In part, you're testing an administrative manager's administrative skills at being able to make a note and following up and making sure things actually happen months later that are expected. So let's talk briefly about compensation and this thing that I'm calling a team award, and then we're done. Compensation varies widely worldwide. I mean, we've got clients in London, England, as well as East Gumshoe, Texas, and whatever. So we've got advisors all over the world. Brisbane, Australia, South Africa. We've got clients in all parts of the English-speaking world. So I cannot tell you what an average salary is, but I can tell you that the compensation is usually a salary. So, but it is possible, especially if you're not hiring them full-time at the beginning, that it could be an hourly wage. So it can work either way. You can set a reasonable hourly rate for your administrative manager, although usually it's a salary. And the individual does not have to be full-time at the beginning. I am most concerned about ideal clients. So it really depends on how many ideal clients you have currently. I make it clear to the administrative manager that, you know, I've got two priorities as an advisor. My two priorities are to serve my ideal clients and to invest time serving my clients and to invest time going out and finding new ideal clients. And literally everything else in the business, I need my administrative manager to manage those distractions and make sure that I remain focused on my two highest priorities. So it's up to my administrative manager to manage everything else. So at the beginning, depending on how many ideal clients you have, this may not be a full-time job for them. And I always get the question, what about virtual administrative managers? What if I have the capability to hire an administrative manager, but virtual, not in my office, but an administrative manager who offices in some other city or some other place, and we communicate over the computer and, you know, over the phone, and rather than face-to-face in the office? Well, I would say that a virtual administrative manager is better than no administrative manager, but frankly, what you're working towards at some point is a full-time in-office person. And that what you need to do is establish, if you're not hiring a full-time in-office administrative manager on salary, it's to currently sit down and pencil some, sketch out some numbers to establish, well, how many ideal clients do I need to acquire in order to be able to budget to hire a full-time in-office administrative manager that's a really skilled person? One of the things I do like about virtual administrative managers at the beginning is sometimes you can hire a much higher skilled administrative manager than you can afford, but it's because you're just paying for the portion of time that you need of theirs. So if you just have a handful of ideal clients and a few other administrative tasks like managing your calendar and so forth, coordinating your team, but not many ideal client meetings yet, then it is possible to hire a highly, highly skilled virtual administrative manager, and you only pay for what you use, so it's more affordable, and they can get your machine, your business machine, you know, up to running like a well-oiled machine. And then at that point, when you can afford an in-office administrative manager, that person will be taking over a well-oiled machine that's running well. So if you need to hire a virtual administrative manager on a part-time basis who's highly skilled, but not in your area, I would say go for it. And just recognize that that's not going to be a permanent position, or shouldn't be. So let's talk about compensation and what I'm calling team award. Rather than just offering a salary, I find that the best mix for your team is something like this. Maybe 55% of their compensation being their salary, 30% being what I call a merit bonus based on things that are completely within this individual's control, and then maybe 10 to 20% being a bonus that I call a team award, which is only able to be earned if your business hits key targets for which everybody on your team has some element of input, or, you know, has some control over the outcome. Let me kind of walk through it real quick. So the base compensation, this is the salary. It's either paying a salary or paying by the hour. What you're paying for is you want regular status updates. This is the leadership job, the project leader portion of the administrative manager job. It's not enough for them to just do the job of administrative manager. You want them to demonstrate an ability to make forward progress, and the experience and you know, realization that it's important to sit down with you on a regular basis. We recommend daily, several times a week at the very least, to sit down with you and give you what we call a status update check-in. Very short meeting saying, here's the progress that's being made to implement truly comprehensive financial services, and you feel very well informed because your administrative manager is giving you regular updates several times a week. That's what you're paying for. They are demonstrating their effective project leaders. That means the quality and the quantity of the subject matter expert work that's submitted by your subject matter experts is very high. That the client prep packets completed prior to the deadlines, this is all the work that's prepared for the client progress meetings. And that the subject matter experts are regularly collaborating, and that's measured by the quantity of interaction logs that are received, which are nothing more than the notes from your subject matter experts' interactions with each other. So you're just paying for your administrative manager to coordinate your subject matter experts around these client progress meetings. And you're expecting an extraordinary dry run prep meeting. Now, this is a term that you may or may not be familiar with, but this is a dress rehearsal that that you will hold a week to 10 days prior to every actual client meeting. And so you want those dry run prep meetings to be extraordinary. In other words, they're useful to you as the trusted advisor in fully preparing to deliver an extraordinary client meeting experience a week later. So, you know, you want to be updated as to the progress of your administrative manager implementing this thing that we call Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. They're helping you build and lead your team. The second thing is they are really good leaders when it comes to setting deadlines and managing and coordinating the subject matter experts to produce all the work required for the actual client meetings. And these dry run prep meetings are very, very useful to you. For that, you pay a base compensation. This is the salary. Then there can be a merit bonus. We recommend up to 30% of their compensation be a merit bonus. Now, this is work submitted prior to deadline, work submitted by the dates promised, the insisting that subject matter experts are collaborating, so you can tie it to the increase in numbers of interaction logs that are received, and of course the key performance measures. If you saw how you're measuring forward progress in mastering the job, well, you can tie this merit bonus to advances in the scoring of their key performance measures. And then finally, the team award. This is something that would be for your administrative manager as well as your subject matter expert. As a team, they can earn an award up to maybe 15% of compensation. We're not focusing on the subject matter expert compensation, but it's possible you might only offer the team award to your administrative manager. I know a number of advisors that do that. They have a team award, but the only one eligible for it is the administrative manager, because in those cases, they're compensating subject matter experts separately for the work that they're doing, and they've worked that out separately. What you're measuring for the team award are things like increased referral rate. So if your clients are introducing you to more potential clients because the team's doing such a great job, then I guess the way to say this is, if your team's doing such a great job, then your clients should be noticing that and not allowing anybody that they know or care about to come talk to anybody but you. So you should be measuring increased referral rates as a part of a team award. Retention rate for sure. You shouldn't be losing clients. And then something called the advisor value score. I'm not going to spend any time here talking about it, but you can go search for that. And we recommend that you implement, your administrative manager implement this system called the advisor set value score, so you know how your clients value your services, and your clients provide you actionable ideas on how to increase their value. All these things result in increased referability, but the bonus is tied to an increase in your advisor value score. And we're looking for a target score above 81. So those of you that are using the advisor value score, we have promoters, passives, and detractors, and we're looking for a score of over 81. And if that score increases from bonus period to bonus period, that could drive a team award. And we want our clients, the percentage of our clients who actually describe us as indispensable, to be above 90%. And that's measured in the advisor value score as well. So this whole idea of, you know, not paying just only salary to your administrative manager, but rather, you know, 55% salary, 30% merit bonus, and 15% team award. I just want you to consider this, because some advisors just focus on the salary and the hourly rate and don't think about how to create a compensation system that encourages your administrative manager to excel, improve, and to master their job. So just quick summary of the steps to hiring an extraordinary administrative manager. Finalize the position agreement. We have samples on this page that you can download. establish key performance measures for your administrative manager. We have a sample on this page that you can download and look at. Then go out and find candidates. Send out the email. We have a sample on this page of the email that you can send out. Don't forget to send the one-page PDF attachment describing the position. Then you'll screen candidates. We have a sample on this page of an assignment that you can give to all candidates to see how they make sure that they do the assignment, and then you can limit your interviews to only those who submit the assignment and the results are up to your standards. And then the initial interview. So you have your first interview with those candidates that that stand out. And then you apply the rule of threes. Make sure that you have three interviews, three separate people interviewing, and make sure you keep interviewing until you have three candidates that you would hire, among which from which you'll select one. Be sure to check references. Make sure to check at least three references. And hire them for a trial period. We recommend for a four-month client meeting cycle. Just see how they do. Give them 4 months to demonstrate their mastery. And then consider the compensation to be not just the salary, but possibly to include a team award. And those are the 10 steps to hiring an extraordinary administrative manager. Well, that's it for this month's Advisor Pack monthly session. Until next month, I'm Mark Little. We wish you all the best in implementing.